You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us, and we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening and watching, we appreciate you for listening and watching. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's at Alex Goodwin TSM on Twitter. That's T as in Tom, S as in Sarah, M as in Mother, Kennedy Miller, my boy.
What's up, my man?
Man, I'm doing good. How you doing? You doing good over there, dog?
Man, I'm doing great. Great.
Where can the folks find you? Twitter, Instagram, all that, dog?
Find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, that's _KennedyMiller_.
All right. And today is an exciting day. We're going to start off, you know, there's only one NBA game going on. And if you would have asked the Atlanta Hawks 2 months ago, they didn't think there was going to be a game going on because they double booked State Farm Arena for a Janet Jackson concert. But that tonight is the NFL draft where dreams come true. And Kennedy Miller, you want to know why the NFL draft reminds me of an HBCU college graduation?
Tell me why.
Because folks be picking up the president. Them folks up there picking up Roger Goodell, okay? And, yo, what is the wildest celebration you've seen at an HBCU graduation? Because I know I got something that can top it. I know I do.
Oh, man, I just saw a clip. I don't know if this was an HBCU graduation, but a girl literally, I mean, like, she was dancing, and she jumped on the ground, like, on her back. And obviously, you know, it's a stage. It was a big thug, but I guess that was part of the dance because she played it off either really well or, again, she meant to do it. But homegirl literally, like, jumped and fell just straight on her back mid-dance and then got up and just, like, walked off, like, kept dancing, walked off the stage with it. Hey, more power to her.
Hey, you know, most times we see, you know, the folks in the fraternities, they start jumping and hopping and strolling, doing all of that stuff. But the wildest thing I think I've seen was, this was 2012, and I saw somebody throw rice in the stands. Wow. I swear to God, God is my witness. My mama was there. My daddy was there. Look, they were throwing rice at Texas Southern University. I know the janitorial staff was pissed.
No way,
bro. Look, I promise to Almighty God, if my mama's in the chat, I need her to tap in and confirm this, okay? Because they were, God is my witness. The Nigerians party and celebrate a little bit differently than the rest of us, obviously.
Oh, for sure.
And that's who that was, okay? They have weddings different, and clearly they celebrate graduations a bit differently as well.
Shout out to the upcoming spring graduates. Hopefully y'all don't get any rice thrown at y'all's graduations.
Look, all I need to do is make sure I actually get to my graduation, all right? I may or may not make it, okay? Somebody's going to have to carry me in there, all right?
I understand.
I've been told this is a civilized ceremony, and I said, look, you only get a PhD once. You only get a doctorate once. You only put on that robe, that Judge Mathis-ass robe, one time. You only do it. Look, I'm YOLO.
You deserve it.
Hey, man, I'm trying.
You deserve it.
And you know who else is YOLOing it tonight, Kennedy Miller?
Who's that?
The Houston Texans. The Houston Texans. For the first time in several years, appear competent.
Yes.
I'm take it away for a second because I need a second to collect my thoughts because I'm taken aback here.
I mean, so the Texans had the second pick in the draft. You know, it was been conflicting reports pretty much all offseason. Are they gonna take a quarterback? Are they gonna take Will Anderson, who was the best regarded as one of the best defensive players in the draft. And it's just kind of been up in the air. They didn't really know where they were going. And the Texans not only picked one of the top two quarterbacks in the draft in CJ Stroud from Ohio State, but they also traded with the Arizona Cardinals for the number three pick and got a back-to-back pick and took Will Anderson from Alabama. Real draft day Kevin Costner type stuff, right? Like, it was craziness. Like, and for them to get arguably the best quarterback and arguably the best defensive player, back-to-back picks, new head coach, black quarterback, I'm honestly really excited about how their future is going to look. And I feel like they've done a good job in trying to set up D'Amico Ryan's first time head coach with two foundational pieces on both sides of the ball to help progress his career and progress his stint with the Houston Texans.
And, you know, the thing that coming into this draft and really coming into this evening, because before I, because Kennedy Miller, you and other folks know, I'm off the Texans and I've been off for a couple years, right? You know, they hired D'Amico, folks asking, am I going to come back? And I kept telling folks, I really don't know. I'm not sure. And so, and then, you know, the entire draft process, you know, the draft process is a whole bunch of smoke screens, whole bunch of people, you know, absolutely, just throwing ideas out there, throwing things at the wall, you know, hoping they stick. But here's the none bigger than Mac Jones being the number two pick in the draft a couple of years ago. So, you know, you never know what is just smoke screens and what is a team's true intentions. But with the Houston Texans, when they were talking about, no, they might just take Will Anderson or they might just take Tyree Wilson, right? I was like, oh, hell. Because it's the Texans. And the Texans do stupid things day in and day out. Like, you can still hear the trauma in my voice, okay? You can still hear it, right? So I don't even know why I was that invested. I'm looking away from the television and I just got my head down. And I heard CJ Stroud. I'm like, oh, Father in heaven, you know, my God is awesome. He heard me today, right? And then they trade back with Arizona and get Will Anderson. Because what I didn't want to have happen is what happened with San Francisco in 2017. Myles Garrett was the first pick. Mitch Trubisky was the second pick. And San Francisco had the third pick. And they passed on Mahomes and Freaky D, Deshaun Watson, and took Solomon Thomas. That is something I didn't want to happen. Like, you've passed up on two generational prospects. And you've taken an average rotational NFL defensive lineman. I didn't want that to happen. But to see the Houston Texans not only do the right thing, but do a little bit extra.
Yes.
Kennedy Miller, this is like, you know, if you're in a relationship, you know, you've gone your separate ways, but then that other person, you know, you start talking a little bit more, you know, got to interact because of the kids, you know. They start doing a little bit, you know, doing the little things. You know what I'm talking about? Is it not the little things, Kennedy Miller?
It's the little things.
It's the little things. In the Texas today, Kennedy Miller, they did a little thing. They did. They did a little thing. It's like, you know, they're listening. They're paying attention. They remember your favorite color. They remember you like Fresh Prince. It's the small things that really kind of, you know, tug at the heartstrings. So I don't know. In my man, Lamar Gaffer, shout out Lamar Gaffer, talenttalk.com in the comments. I don't know if I'm fully back yet. I don't. We have to see like a sustained period of this. You know, we just can't, you know, just because you helped me out, helped me pay the rent, helped me pay the phone bill here and there, I can't just.
Absolutely.
Well, nah. You know, Helen didn't just go back to Charles McCarter just because he got shot by homeboy in the courtroom. Shout out to Tyler Perry's Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Shout out. Okay.
Homeboy with the deep voice.
Yeah. I don't make idle threats, Mr. McCarter.
You my lawyer.
All that dope I ran for you back in the day, I practically paid for that house. Oh, man. But yes, the Houston Texans have done something competent. And I feel right now, Kennedy Miller, I am sitting at the Texans' bedside. The Texans are Charles McCarter. I'm sitting at the bedside. Dear Diary, as much as I want to hate him, and I really do. Something about me takes pity on him. Maybe, look, maybe I just got to throw, you know, the Texans into the tub and stop blowing those bubbles. Like, you know, maybe one more thing. Maybe I need to tell Shamar Moore I'm good. Maybe. I don't know, Kennedy Miller. Am I tripping? Please tell me, am I tripping?
No, I mean, pretty much being a Texan fan is pretty much being a Cowboys fan for my lifetime. So it's not one that, you know, people enjoy, honestly. Like, where's the far? Have y'all been to an AFC championship?
Hell no. The farthest the Texans have gone. No, look, and Kennedy Miller, it's not a y'all. They. Okay. Hell no. Look, the farthest the Texans have gone is to the division around like three or four times.
Lost to like Baltimore, New England.
New England twice. Yeah. Lost New England twice. And then the last one was Kansas City when they were up 24-0.
Yes. Oh my God.
And then,
that's the last time they've been.
That was literally after that, the world changed. COVID-19 happened. The Houston Texans gave DeAndre Hopkins away for the Section 8 housing voucher.
Mm-hmm.
That
wasn't the year they came with them Letterman jackets on.
No, that was 2012. That's when they came with those Clemens High School Letterman jackets, and those look so stupid. Oh my God, that was some high level foolishness.
Can they bring back the free slushies from Sonic when they win? Because I was looking forward to them free slushies. I knew it was coming to an end pretty soon, but I was looking forward to them free slushies on Tuesdays.
Boy, look, the line that Sonic was out the door. We leave Stafford
out
High
the
School.
Door.
Leave Stafford High School after practice. We go into Sonic. We empty. We cleaning them out.
Dude, good times, man.
Cleaning them boys out. But man, look, they did something competent recently. Look, it's been 3.5 years of foolishness, of nonsense, of just the Houston Texans signed a quarterback to a long-term deal. And 6 months after that, that man demanded a trade. That's a failure of management. And like I always say, what happened 6 weeks after that, Kennedy Miller?
With Deshaun Watson?
Yes. Then 6 weeks later, we find out, this man is allegedly, as according to 30-some-odd women, a sexual degenerate. And I say allegedly not because I don't believe the accusations. I'm saying allegedly because I don't want to get sued and I don't have the money to pay.
Absolutely.
But through all of that, the Houston Texans might be back on the right direction. They might be going. This might be getting better. Lamar, I don't know if I'm back on the narcotic yet. I'm not ready to sit here and put that size 36 belt and wrap it back around my elbow. I'm not quite ready yet. But, man, it just – you tell me this. Look, when was the last time there was any reason to be excited about the Houston Texans, Kennedy Miller?
Deshaun Watson? Sorry, and I'm honestly, ago. This is – you know, obviously it's going to take a few years, but at least you feel like you've got two franchise guys, right? Like, it's unheard of to trade a prime quarterback that was MVP caliber at 25 years old in his prime. Right. Like, that's unheard of. And I think we talked about it pretty soon after. And I said, who knows how long it'll take to find another one. Now, obviously, we're not saying CJ Stroud's Deshaun Watson yet. But I mean, you got to feel pretty confident if you're a Texans fan. You got to feel pretty optimistic about your future getting these two guys with the second and third pick for your team for the next couple of years.
And for me, I'll say this. So defensively, next year, they picked Stingley last year in the top five. Jalen Petrie's in the secondary.
With I like
Stingley
that deal,
at safety. Will Anderson on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good start. Like, that is a pretty good start. Hopefully, they can figure something out with the offensive line, maybe get a receiver or two, and they really might have something going. Maybe, just maybe. But like I said, I think I think they might be headed in the right direction. Like I said, Kennedy Miller, it's going to take more of the little things. One, you know, big act, one big event is not going to take away from the years of pain and suffering I've been put through by the Houston Texans. It's not. But like I said, the little things are just, oh man, the little things. That's what gets you. That is what gets you. And side note of Black history. Tonight is the first time three black quarterbacks have been drafted in the top five.
It's amazing.
That's the first time that's happened. Also, you want to know, now that Lamar Jackson has agreed to a contract with the Ravens, you want to know who the top five quarterbacks are on guaranteed money in NFL history?
All black.
Deshaun Watson. Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Russell Wilson, and Kyler Murray. For as messed up as America is, and for as hellish as white supremacy is, damn it, we can't act like this ain't isn't a smidgen of progress. But you know who hasn't made any progress? In fact, they took a step back. The Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow.
They folded. Folded like a lawn chair. Ken, have you ever seen something like that from a team with this level of experience, with arguably the best player in the NBA, fold in this manner?
I mean, it's tough. Obviously, this is like, it's still pretty recent, so it's hard to say like that I have, because just in the way that it happened. Now, obviously, Giannis was hurt, right? Missed, you know, pretty much most of game one, games two and three. But I mean, the first game back, he scored like 8 points in like the first like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he might still have been feeling lingering effects, but you know, like we always say about great players, like 80% of them or 75% version of them is better than most regular NBA players. But I mean, it was, I got to tip my hat number one to Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra and what they did. That's the Miami Heat. They just kind of figured them dudes out, man. And just to see them just play so bad down the stretch, Giannis missing all those free throws, 12, I think he missed 12 free throws last night. And man, and that was, like we said, I don't know if I can put it in comparison, because they've won a championship, right? Like, yep. I think about the Nets, right, last year getting swept.
Yeah.
But that group hadn't won a championship. Like, this group was championship proven, right? Like, Giannis put up 50 in a closeout game not too long ago. They had the number one record, not even just in the East, in the league. And they lose to the A seed. Like, not even in six or seven games, they get gentlemen swept. They were about 13 last night, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just an epic collapse. Like, they throw the ball away. They get the ball back. Giannis almost throws it away again because he doesn't want to go to the free throw line.
Man.
Then they run out. They run the sideline play. And, again, like, I don't really like to question coaches' decision-making, but I mean, like, could Brook Lopez have been in front of the rim? Kind of same thing, 2013, no Tim Duncan? You know what I mean? Like, it's 2 seconds
left. You didn't have to do that to me.
I sure didn't.
You
I
didn't.
Sure
didn't. I sure is, didn't. Is that a re- is you getting back at me for all the Solomon Hill jokes?
Absolutely.
You lucky we on live right now. You lucky, Kennedy Miller. You are lucky, boy.
Just throwing that out there. But, I mean, he can't be around the rim 2 seconds left. And, I mean, just an amazing putback by Jimmy Butler. And then they don't even get a shot off in overtime. Grayson Allen, like, you don't even pull up for the mid-range. So I think it's a lot of questions that need to be answered for the Bucks this offseason, because they look kind of old and slow. Like, somebody made a point, and I didn't even think about it. They were like, even with Giannis, the Bucks might have been the least athletic team in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. I see that.
Because, like, okay, Drew Holiday, he's got some sneaky athleticism. Chris Middleton, eh. Giannis, we know. Everybody else, where are you getting somebody beating you off the dribble? Like, you could tell they built this roster around Giannis, spot-up shooters, some bigger wings to guard guys. They got a big rim protector that shoots threes. But when the times get tough, Chris Middleton proved to be that guy when they won a championship.
Yep.
But now he's 32, has some knee injuries, doesn't really look like the same guy. Played well in the first quarter, but I think he had 17 in the first quarter. I want to say he finished the game with like 28, 29.
Yeah, something like that. He really, really cooled off, though.
Yeah, I mean, he cooled off. So, again, it's just wild to see a team like that collapse like that. And another point that I made, and I kind of talked about them earlier, the East is wide open now. Man. Like, it's about to be New York and Miami in the second round. None of us thought that was going to happen.
And look, because one of the UNT basketball players, he's from Brooklyn. Shout out to Boo. He was like, man, you said the Knicks was going to lose. I said, I did. I said, look, I want good things to happen for the Knicks. Did I think they were going to beat Cleveland? No. But Cleveland clearly wasn't ready. Wasn't ready. Them Tom Thibodeau and them boys, the fighting Tom Thibodeaus, they was ready for that action. Mm. And now you mean to tell me we going to get New York, Madison Square Garden in the second round. I'm excited for that. I'm like, they one of them teams you want them to do well just for the league. And like, they up, like, I ain't gonna lie, between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Knicks, two teams I want good things to happen for two separately different reasons. For the Grizzlies, I just want after every game. I want to hear 20,000 people holler, whoop that trick. That's really it. Cause I'm a cheerleader for foolishness. For the Knicks, it's the environment. It's the garden. Like, it makes for a great, like, atmosphere. And even at home on your couch, thousands of miles away, you can feel that. But in terms of Milwaukee, I always talk about with Golden State, and we're going to get into Golden State here in a little bit. The biggest thing why you give Golden State the benefit of the doubt is championship experience. You've been there. You've done that. You know, a team like the Spurs, 15, 16 straight years, 50 wins. You win four or five championships, but you know, you've been in situations, you know, you've had heartbreaking game seven losses. Heartbreakers in the finals. Heartbreakers, you know, against the Mavs, against the Clippers, against this team, against that team, but you battle tested. Your guys, you know, they've been there, they've done that. You know, they're not going to shake. They don't stir. The Milwaukee Bucks, NBA champions. Like, they came apart. I don't think in recent memory I can think of a team that's won a championship falling apart like that. You know, like you said, like, you know, Middleton winning the jump ball, throwing it to Giannis. And he almost tossed it out of bounds. Eventually got it to Holiday. Drew Holiday missed one of those free throws. You know, after Jimmy Butler made that crazy, miraculous last second, I don't even know what to call it.
They didn't even call a timeout.
Didn't call a timeout. It's like, it's point. Sure, you got 0.5 on the clock. And sure, what's the chance you have a Lakers, San Antonio, Derek Fisher thing? What's the chance? Probably one in a million. But damn, at least call a timeout to give yourself a shot.
Right.
They didn't do that. They looked... And people have always, and I've been one of them, critical of Mike Budenholzer. We kind of stopped doing that when they beat Brooklyn in Game 7 in the semis 2 years ago, won the title. He was safe. He was Gucci. But I almost feel like this is why people were critical of Mike Budenholzer. Right here. You know, like, I don't know really where they really go from here. And that's the biggest thing. Like, it's the weirdest thing in the world that I'm looking at a basketball team that I thought probably could have went to the finals and maybe won the damn thing. They're out in the first round in five games to a team that was in the play-in. Like, they gave up 120 points a game to a team that was like bottom five or bottom six in the league and scoring in the regular season.
Dude, and a team that they swept 2 years ago that was probably, honestly, a better Heat team than the team now. So, here's who the real idiots are. Number one, I think it's going to be great because it's probably going to be probably because we're still waiting on this Celtics Atlanta game. But It's going to be New York and Miami. And it's probably going to be Philly and Boston. Like, talk about your East teams going at it. Like, four of the biggest fan bases in the league. Those players are going to be rocking. But all of them got questions, right? Like, I mean, Miami, we don't think, you know, pretty much for most of the season, they've been a below average team. They're 40 and 42. New York, can they really score? Who's their guy? Boston, can they make it out of this round to Atlanta? Philly, how healthy is Joel Embiid?
And James Harden.
And James Harden. So again, I make the point, the real idiots of this thing are the Brooklyn Nets, who decided to trade themselves for little to nothing. Because that the Eastern Conference is wide open right now. You see Joel Embiid hurt, Boston struggling in the first round, and Milwaukee gone. You look around the landscape, if they were playing right now, they would easily be the favorites to get out of there.
They would, but again, it's the Brooklyn Nets. We know they're fools, and we know they're fools because, let's be real, at a certain point, they had to get rid of Umar Irving. They had to get him out of New York City, okay? They had to. There were too many. Look, before they had Umar Irving hollering out there with the Hebrew Israelites and people getting off the train. You couldn't have that, okay? And then, again, you know they're incompetent. You know they're incompetent because they tried to hire Ime Udoka in the middle of the season. And by the way, folks in Houston, hide your girlfriends, hide your wives. Ime's coming to town.
Hey, they said we're taking them to Gold Diggers. So.
Hey, we're not. Look, if Ime Udoka couldn't control himself in Boston, they going to put him on a shot collar in Houston.
He's going to act a plumb fool out here.
Hey, put that. He needs a curfew. Keep him out. Look, they need a sign. You know, at like security, they have a picture. Don't let this person in. At mercy. At mercy, at the address. At what's James Harden's spot called?
13.
You cannot let this man in. Ime Udoka's gonna go buck wild. Okay. Like, this is not a good place for him. But then again, if the man couldn't act right in Boston, when there ain't too many, black women.
Yep.
Ain't too many folks, you know, given, his relationship with Nia Long, we got an idea what Ime Udoka likes, right? They ain't too much of that in Boston. And Ime Udoka still has some motion. Hey, look, man. You know what Ime Udoka's favorite song is?
What?
Every Girl by Young Money.
Oh. No, he's about to have a good time out here. And I hope it's not at the expense of the Rockets organization.
Good luck.
No, I mean, like we were talking about, it's just an epic collapse. You know, obviously, I think the closest would be the Mavs. You know, a team
in 07.
Yeah. 07. You know, they just made the finals the year before, kind of collapsed in there. It was up 2-0, lost four straight. And then the next season, almost wins 70 games and lose in the first round. I think the only difference between that is, like, it was some continuity there with, you know, Don Nelson had worked with the Mavs before, so he kind of knew all their stuff. And then, like, if I'm not mistaken, the Warriors had kind of won that regular season matchup. Like, if you had kind of paid attention, you could see that it was just a matchup problem for them.
Yeah.
But we had already seen this Miami-Milwaukee thing. Like, Miami beat them in the bubble, and then the next year Milwaukee swept them. So it was like, okay, well, they're the better team now. But then it's like 3-1, you're up 13. And you lose. That's crazy to me.
Shoot, the game with Jimmy Butler went for 60 the other night. They were up 15-16 in that one. It's like, yo, there is no reason why Milwaukee should not be up 3-2 right now. They got folded.
That was like that was one of the best performances I've ever seen live.
Yeah.
Like, those last two shots that he hit, like that three, and then he came down transition with a little step back. I thought it was another three. I got mad props for Jim Butler on that. Like, I think we talked about this before. I didn't think he was a superstar because I didn't think he could be the number one guy to lead your team to a championship.
Yeah.
I still have reservations about that, but he's definitely, like, he's definitely a playoff performer. Like, I got to give Bro credit.
And I think the thing about a guy like Jimmy Butler, if we really think about it, we're talking about a dude who was like the last pick in the first round, you know, started from the bottom really as a, like a rotational player, just really a defensive guy. And he's developed into this. If the worst thing we have to say about Jimmy Butler is that he can't be the best player on the championship team, given where we started from, hey, that ain't really an insult.
You know, no, talking about, it's like
talking about Dak Prescott and being like, well, Dak Prescott ain't an elite quarterback. How many fourth round picks end up getting a second contract? Mm-hmm. Like, if this is what we're talking about, of course, and I'm pretty sure some of you Cowboy fans are going to be upset about that. But, you know, given what, you know, a typical fourth round pick or somebody picked in that slot gives you.
Yep.
The fact that he's way overperformed now. So anything else past this, you count it all joy.
He's definitely earned my respect, man.
Man, wild stuff, wild stuff. And, you know, we got to switch gears a little bit to the West in Golden State. Last time we were on this podcast, Kennedy Miller, Golden State was down 2-0. Draymond did one of them Drew Hill steps on Domantas Sabonis' chest. And we like, yo, man, folks were calling it curtains. But Golden State, that championship DNA, they up 3-2, looking to close it out tomorrow night. So, Ken, because I'm not shocked. You know,
no.
I am not shocked. I guess because I said these boys is champions. They're probably going to win the next two ball games because the Sacramento Kings are not about to gentlemen sweep these boys or sweep them at all. Like, no. These boys done been here before. They put, you know, they took Draymond out of the starting lineup, put Jordan Poole in there, got them a little bit more spacing.
Great move.
And they won a game on the road.
Yep. And honestly, like you said, I'm not surprised. I actually give more props to Sacramento because, like, most of the time you see young teams like this, they jump out to this 2-0 lead, then they lose two at home, then they kind of fold. But, like, Sacramento was in that game, especially the second game in Golden State. On that Sunday afternoon, like, if Fox doesn't pass that ball to Harrison Barnes and he misses that open shot, because I think Fox either should have shot it himself or just threw it to Malik Monk.
Yeah.
But this conversation gets treated a lot differently with Steph Curry pulling a Chris Webber and calling that timeout when they didn't have any timeouts.
Yeah.
Like, that is like it's those things. And they always say it, especially like you listen to like Draymond's podcast and stuff, like champions, they're always like, bro, every possession matters. Cause I think they were about like five or six with like less than 20 seconds left. He calls a timeout. They have no timeouts. All of a sudden they're up by two and Sacramento has the ball with a chance to win the game. So this has been a great series. I thought it was going to be the best series of the first round, other than that Phoenix Clippers series. But I thought it was going to be one of the best series of the first round, and it has not disappointed. Fox broke his finger or fractured his finger or whatever and still came out bald yesterday. And I just thought the Warriors just found ways to close it. Like, for all the crap that we give Draymond about his antics, about his struggles offensively, the dude got a steal in the corner, wasn't even looking at the ball, saved it. And, you know, was able to throw it to one of his teammates. Like, it's championship level basketball. And that team just keeps finding ways. And you got to, like Mike Brown talked about, like, you got to knock them out. You can't leave it up to decision. You can't play around with them. You have to take their hearts out. And it's going to be tough for any team to do.
Hey, man, it's kind of like reminding me what Omar told Weebay in The Wire. You come at the king, you best not miss.
You best not miss.
Best not miss. And, like, that is, like, with Golden State. It's, like, they keep coming in. Like, what I saw last night, it felt like one of those Golden State championship teams last night. Like, you saw it. Because given all their struggles on the road, given the fact that between January and March, they won one ball game on the road. They went in last night, and it felt like really – from maybe mid-second quarter, that they had that game. They were in control of that ball game, in control of the building. You know what I'm talking about? And they got some from Klay. If they can get something from Klay Thompson consistently, Jordan Poole, if they can, Jordan Poole can knock down, get some buckets again. because he's been kind of hot and cold at the beginning of the playoffs. If he can, you know, consistently give them that 17-18 and give them an efficient 17-18, Gary Payton's playing better.
Yep.
You know, and I think the biggest thing, moving Draymond to the second unit, it gives them a hell of a lot more spacing on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And
shout out to Wiggins, too. He had a big shot down the stretch.
He did. And it felt like that. It felt like a Warriors team. That it's like, you know, you go on a run, you know, they're not like, they don't have that same like aura, like third quarter Warriors. Here they come and then boom.
Yep.
But it's like they're slowly like throwing jabs, uppercut.
That one felt like so deflating, like from me on the couch, because you're coming down, it's less than a minute left. You're like, okay, like Steph, like we can't let Steph game us. We can't let Klay game us. Okay, Wiggins got the ball. Wait a minute, he finna do a step back? Like we're contesting it? A Wiggins step back? Like we gotta live with that, right? And he makes it. It's like, oh yeah, I forgot he was a number one pick too, and he's averaged pretty much 20 in the league since he's been in the league. So it's just like, okay, what do you do? Looney had like 20 rebounds. He's just figured out his niche in the league. He's just a freaking rebounding machine. We just talked about Draymond's impact. Gary Payton's one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. DiVincenzo is a pretty good on-ball defender. Like, he can knock down an open shot. So you look up and you're like, dang, these Warriors go like 8-9 deep.
Man.
Like, they got a lot of pieces they can throw that can do a lot of different things for you. So it's like, of course, the championship DNA is there, and like, it's gonna take teams and knock them out.
That it will. But again, now I'm gonna move to your fan questions and fan comments. Remember, folks, put your questions in the chat. We're gonna read them off here. So, first question from Jasmine: what does the future hold for the LA Clippers? And I know, Jasmine, you are an LA Clipper fan, and hell, the Clippers may be cursed. I don't know what they've done. This might be one of those, not quite like with the Chicago Cubs or the Boston Red Sox, 'cause the curse of the Bambino. You know what I'm talking about? It might not be that, but damn, it's pretty close.
It's the curse of the Donald Sterling.
Man, you know what? I think it is Donald. They haven't washed that stink of Donald Sterling off quite yet. Maybe when they move into that new arena in Inglewood, maybe it'll be completely gone. Because look, I just thought about it, Ken. Big Magic Johnson. And if you don't know what we're talking about, go watch that Donald Sterling interview with Anderson Cooper and report back. But what does the future hold for the Clippers at the current moment? I don't know. Because, you know, you're on one hand, you would think 2020-2021. You know, they're rolling, they're going through the playoffs, you know, they make it to the conference finals, but Kawhi gets hurt. He doesn't finish the series against Utah. But, you know, your thought is if he's healthy, they probably make it to the finals and maybe have a shot to win. Last year, get all those wings. We knew last year was really a building year. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we're just PG. This year, Kawhi's coming back. They have to ramp Kawhi up. You know, Kawhi's, you know, figuring it out. They finally get Kawhi fully ramped up, and by January, he's rolling and looking like Kawhi Leonard again. Like, if anybody would go look at those basketball reference stats, like those game logs, Kawhi, by January, Kawhi was on it. And it looked like, oh, this is going to be trouble come playoff time. In those first two games against Phoenix, he's on. And it's Kawhi shooting better from three than he was from the floor, and it was crazy. And then all of a sudden, the moment they said he's going to miss a playoff game, I said, oh, this is for real. Because he, like, you know, regular season games, my knee's feeling a little stiff. All right, I'll sit this one out. But for him to miss a playoff game, it's like, oh, he probably needed a surgery. Something's wrong. Something's wrong for real. And it's a torn meniscus. Now, I think a meniscus tear, I'm not that kind of doctor, is, I think they said 3 to 5 months. So it's April now, so he could be back, you know, by the start of next year. But knowing Kawhi, he kind of takes his time. You're probably talking about November. You know what I'm saying? The roster is getting older. You probably need to replace a Marcus Morris. Probably need to replace an Eric Gordon. Nick Batum probably got to go. But you have a great nuke like Kawhi Leonard. Paul George is a great place to start. But, Ken, what did Jody see? How were they singing on the Tom Jordan Morning Show? What was it?
Time is slipping away from me. Yeah.
Literally.
Time is slipping away from the Los Angeles Clippers. Alex Goodwin made a great point. I feel like their best opportunity to win a championship was that bubble year. And obviously there's a bunch of things that didn't go right for them. And, you know, I guess they didn't want to be in the bubble. And, you know, it was reported that they and the Lakers were the only two teams that voted not to be in the bubble. With that being said, they had a 3-1 lead on Denver. And for some odd reason, Doc Rivers or no, they folded and did not win against Denver. You know, Paul George shooting on the side of the backboard in that last game kind of all. And I mean, honestly, seriously, since the Lob City era, how many times through the playoffs have we seen enormous choke jobs or just freak injuries happen to them year after year? It's like, one year I'm going to give you a choke job, the next year somebody going to get hurt, and I'm going to give you another choke job. It's like back and forth. Because they, let me see, 2014-15
against the Rockets, they blew a 3-1
lead. They blew
a
3-1 lead, lost to Josh Smith and Jason Terry.
Yeah.
Because they had benched James Harden and Dwight Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey Brewer, too, by the way.
Wait, hold on. You mean to tell me they unleashed, like, they lost, like, they incurred the wrath of Corey Brewer?
No. Them dudes came in and started hooping. In L.A., and I think the year before that, if I'm not mistaken, 2014, they had either 2-1 or 2-0 lead on Oklahoma City.
Yep.
And lost that one, too. 2016. And by the way, that 2015 team, I had them going to the finals.
You did.
Because they beat the Spurs in the first round on the Chris Paul game winner. I was at prom May 2nd, 2015. Same night as Floyd and Conor McGregor. I'm going to forget that night.
No, it was Floyd and Pacquiao.
I mean, yeah, Floyd and Pacquiao. I'm sorry, Floyd and Pacquiao. Then, I think 2016, either Chris Paul or Blake gets hurt. Then one year, both of them get hurt.
Yeah.
And they lose. Dude, and then, like, this era comes in, and somebody posted a picture, and they're not far removed from the Doc Rivers era of Tracy McGrady and Grant Hill. Obviously, they've had more time, but you think about the expectations of those two stars versus the expectations of these two stars. Literally, there was a picture of them saying the LA Bulls with Kawhi
did this?
Under Mike, Paul George under Scotty, Pat Bev under Ron Harper, Montrezl Harrell under Dennis Rodman.
Who did this? Because they need, send him to the guillotine. Because the entire idea that Patrick Beverly was going to be Ron Harper or Montrezl Harrell. Is Montrezl Harrell in the league? Because didn't he get...
He's on Philly. On Philly, but I mean, obviously, he got some time because of Embiid, but he hasn't been playing that much. But obviously, that was an overreaction. But the point remains, they were title contenders pretty much every year. And every year, either you and I, or both of us, picked them to either be in the finals or win the finals.
Yeah.
That's how much talent they've had these past 4 years. And so for them to have one conference finals appearance in that 4-year stretch, like, you gotta at least think about blowing it up. Because how much healthier are these guys going to get as they get older?
Yeah, like the thing with Kawhi Leonard and like how much healthier are they gonna get as they get older? Kawhi Leonard's body is breaking down. I believe he's 31. He's breaking down as if he's 36 or 37. You know, like, and the weirdest thing about him, when he gets hurt, you never see him fall. You never like, oh my God, it's bad. You didn't even, like this one, I didn't even see it. Like, cause he just, you know, gutted out, played through it, you know, and he always has this blank look on his face like he's a cyborg. So you have no idea, like, I don't know if the man feels pain. Obviously he does, but you know, you didn't even see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And with a guy like him, he has that degenerative condition with his legs to where he has to be load managed. Like, he physically can't play 82 regular season games. And we know that. But at this point, his body is failing him. And I feel bad for the guy, because the worst part about it is it's almost like after he won that title with the Raptors, his body has started to break down and he's almost becoming some odd version of Grant Hill or Penny Hardaway or Derrick Rose, because we're like, we know this guy is great. We've seen this guy be great. We've seen this guy be a top three, top four player in the league. But now the last really 2 out of 3 years, he's struggled being healthy. So this is going to be 2 major knee surgeries in 3 years. Because he just got done rehabbing, you know. So the question is, they say he's going to be ready to by the start of next year. But, you know, you're probably going to have to ramp him back up again. Because from folks that I've talked to, having knee injuries is just, you know, like, you know, you have to get your confidence back, all of that stuff. So how long is it going to take him to start? You know, because earlier this season, he was a bit tentative. You know, he didn't look as aggressive as normal. So how long is it going to take for him to get back to being Kawhi? You know, Paul George, how much healthier is he going to be? You know, and I want to ask you this question, Ken. It's kind of related. Are these dudes' bodies breaking down because they're playing so much basketball from like 13, 14, playing 80 games a year? And so by the time they're at, you know, 29, 30, or sometimes earlier, their bodies are breaking down as if they're closer to 40?
Well, I mean, I actually listened to like Paul George, one of his first podcasts, and he came on and he actually like said something like very interesting. Is like, he feels like it's more injuries because they don't practice a lot.
Okay.
And so he talks about like when he first came in the league and like they would have these like, you know, maybe like 4 games and 5 nights or something like that. And so he's like, you know, by the back to back, like he's like, second game, I feel like I always play better because my body is like ramped up from the first game. And so he's like, I'd rather play 4 games and 5 nights, have 2 days off, and then like practice again than how we do it now, where we barely play back to backs. We barely practice. Like if we play, we're not going to do nothing the next day. He's like, so I feel like my body's got to rest. Then it's got to go back to 100. Then it's got to rest again. Like he was like, it's just so much in and out that, you know, he feels like it takes a toll. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But I mean, I think it is, like, you know, a lot of basketball is being played. You know, a lot of kids now are, you know, strictly trained one sport all year long instead of, you know, like other kids used to play multiple sports.
Yeah.
Or do multiple things. So I don't know, man. I mean, it's been a lot of studies that have gone into it and nothing definitive. But it is just unfortunate to see a team that is supposed to be a championship contender that has built championship rosters and paid that type of money, right? Like, I think Kawhi and Paul George are going to make a combined $90 million next year.
Woo!
And is it, I think they're going to make $45 million each. Is it worth it right now? Like, you're about to bring in a new stadium, a new arena, and you're not even sure if your stars are going to play 60 games. So, I mean, it's definitely some questions that need to be asked. Like you said, the roster is older now because you've been building these guys in to win championships. Like, you got rid of Luke Kennard because I'm going to get Eric Gordon because he can help you win a championship. Norman Powell, Russell Westbrook, Batum, Marcus Morris. All these dudes are trying to build championship rosters. And the role players come, but the best players aren't available to play for unfortunate reasons.
And, oh, because one thing I do want to get to, we're going to get to Denver, Phoenix before we get up out of here, is after watching that Suns-Clippers series, it was apparent to me the Clippers would have beat these dudes if Kawhi Leonard was healthy. Because, like I said last week, after that top four of Phoenix, their bench is brought to you by the NBA's Witness Protection Program. And it took Devin Booker going ballistic basically the entire series for them to win. Like the fact that the Clippers were out there competing with Norman Powell, they went with a 5-guard lineup. Norman Powell, Russell Westbrook, that terrorist Bones Highland, Eric Gordon, you know, they went out there with 5 guards and were competing. They were in those games until, you know, you need somebody to get you a big bucket. You know, when you're hemorrhaging, they didn't have that guy. You know, as good as Norman Powell is, as many, you know, he can give you buckets, but Norman Powell can't stop the bleeding. You know, if they had Kawhi Leonard, even just for that series, they probably win. And getting to Denver Phoenix, this is why I think that big reason, depth, better full team, more continuity is why I think Denver's going to win that series. Because when anytime I've been watching Phoenix these last several weeks, it's very obvious they've played very little basketball together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, Deuce, like you said before, Ken, stars when you playoff games, right? But teams, you know, regular, you know, great teams get you through the regular season. I think just the setup of Denver's roster, you know, and their continuity, I think that gets them through. And when, you know, Devin Booker is going ballistic, or KD is knocking those jumpers down, and maybe they get some out of Chris Paul, I don't know. They've got Jokic on the other side. I know you're not a big Jokic guy. They got Porter Jr. They got Jamal Murray. They got Aaron Gordon. You know, your other, one of your other least favorite players, KCP.
He's grown on me. Kentavious has grown.
I thought I would never hear you say that, Kennedy.
But no, way. No, listen. So that first year, LeBron's first year with the Lakers, KCP very well could have been on my list of, I don't want to see this man in any area that I'm in, because I might have some choice words for him. But after that first year, like our 2020 year, he was balling. He played his butt off, and he's been balling for Denver. Like he knows what his role is. And I'm gonna tell you who's an unsung hero for Denver.
What's that?
Bruce Brown. Like, very great pickup for them. Energy guy, just plays hard everywhere, like does everything. And he did that for the Nets too. So I kind of knew that it would be a good pickup for them. And I'm kind of leaning towards, you know, picking Denver as well. Like I said, stars win you games. And, you know, if KD and Devin Booker can get you to close games with 5 minutes left, I think that they can take the games over, because I don't think that Denver has anybody that can stay in front of those two guys. Like, you're going to put KCP and Bruce Brown on Devin Booker, but, like, Michael Porter is not that great of a defender. Like, no. He's not. But, I mean, he's a great offensive player. He's going to make you work on the other end. But, like, they don't have anybody to stay in front of KD, like, or even pose a challenge. You know what I mean? But I do think that, like you said, continuity means something. I think that Denver is desperate to get to at least another Western Conference Finals. And I don't know what version of Chris Paul I'm going to get. If it was Chris Paul 2 years ago, I would say Phoenix is going to win this. But sometimes it looks like he can gear up that old engine. And sometimes it looks like he's been a crash on the side of the road. Like, I mean, it's fine. Like, he's had a Hall of Fame career. He's, in my opinion, a top five point guard to ever play. But, you know, a lot of point guards just fall off a cliff at some point. Like, it's hard being 6 foot going up against 6'10", 6'9", athletes that are in the prime of their careers. So if Chris Paul can't bring nothing to the table, I think Denver's going to take it. But if he can give you 15 a game, 15-9, 15-10, they're going to be all right.
I think Denver in – I'm going to go Denver in 7. I want this to go 7. I want, you know,
I want it to go 7-2. I want it to go 7-2. I do.
I'm going to go Denver in 7. What's your prediction?
I'm going to go Denver in 7. Because I was already leaning towards Denver, watching the way that they played against Minnesota, watching the way that Phoenix looked, like you said, because KD and Devin Booker are going to be in that 40, 42, 44-minute log every game. And so is it sustainable? I don't know. But I think that Denver is going to – I think Denver is going to take it this year.
And we are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, my man, thank you once again for hanging out. Where can the folks find you? Twitter, Instagram, all of that?
Find me on Twitter, _KennedyMiller_. Again, that's _KennedyMiller_.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. That's T as in Tyreek Wilson, who just got drafted a few minutes ago by the, was that the Arizona Cardinals, Kennedy Miller?
Yes, I believe so.
S as in Solomon Hill, Kennedy's least favorite player. I had to get you back.
Wow.
And wow. M DM, as in Dallas Mavericks, as in the Dallas Mavericks who are at home right now. Follow the show on Instagram at _thegameplanpodcast. Again, on Instagram at _thegameplanpodcast. Follow, like, share, subscribe to the Game Plan Podcast YouTube channel. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we surely appreciate you guys for listening and for watching. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast live stream. We'll see you guys next time. Y'all take it easy.